This podcast is brought to you by Labyrinth Marketing. So hello and welcome to the Whole Marketeer podcast. Today's podcast is for an area of personal development. We're going to focus on purpose with a sprinkling of commitment thrown in for good measure. In a previous episode, we talked about values and their importance in our decision making, especially around either creating your own organisation or selecting the right organisation to work with. Values and purpose for me go hand in hand, along with your personal understanding of who you are and what your skills and talents you bring to the world are, your purpose can be defined. Your purpose for me is the why you get out of bed every morning, deeper than on surface level to make money or pay the bills. It's what drives you to get out of bed. What you bring to the world and why you're put on the earth. It's what you're good at, so your skills and talents, with your values and your passion, combined together, makes your purpose. With your roles broadening and demands for both your personal and professional life, for me, knowing your purpose can add as a source of motivation and focus. Today's guest is Peter Docker. He's co-author of Find Your Why with Simon Sinek. I first met Peter at the IABM conference when he was speaking about the importance of finding your why. And as a massive fan of the book, as well as values and purpose generally, I thought it'd be invaluable to have him on today's podcast. He consults, speaks and trains with Why Not Unlimited Consultancy, and he specialises in culture and leadership. Prior to consulting and people in leadership, he held various roles for the MOD and the Air Force. Peter, welcome to the Whole Marketeer podcast.
Thank you, Abby. Great to be here.
Big question up front. What is purpose to you?
Let's unpack that a little bit, shall we? Because I was delighted in your intro, you talked about the individual. Because the first thing I'd say about purpose is that companies and organisations don't have purpose, which is a bit of a shocker, isn't it? Mm. It's actually people who have purpose. And people make up companies. And that's important because you can have a company on paper, you can have their purpose or values or whatever you like to call it up on the wall, but it means nothing without the people. So getting down to what it is we believe and anything you might call purpose or values or anything associated with this, it's down to us as individuals. And unpacking that purpose bit just a little bit more, you know what? Everything that's important to us in life. And I think most of us would agree that purpose is about what's important to us in life. Everything that's important to us in life is driven by one of two things. It's either love or fear. That is it. So when we start to examine, you know, to use your phrase there, what gets out of bed every day, the things that are really important to us, when we recognise that they're driven by love or fear, it starts to give us greater clarity as to the reason we get out of bed each day. And when I say fear, you know, it's like a bus driving along the road. And on that bus, there are two sets of seats either side of the aisle. On one side of the aisle is fear, and on the other side of the aisle, there's love. And on the fear side of the aisle, there'll be things like drivers such as self-preservation at the expense of others. There'll be drivers such as self-image or an urge to hide how we truly feel. Whereas on the love side of the bus, there's things such as drivers of standing for something bigger than ourselves, our willingness to be vulnerable and let others in to how we truly feel. And also an ability to see abundance where others may see scarcity. And at any one particular time, what are those drivers from either the left side of the bus or the fear side of the bus is trying to grab hold of the driving wheel and steer us in a particular direction? So when we talk about things like purpose, for me, we need to get really clear on which side of the bus is driving us. Is it things around love or is it things around fear? And of course, if we want to create something that's generative in the world, then it's most sustainable to choose something that comes from that love side of the bus.
That's really interesting, because as you were describing that analogy, I was almost thinking about my own personal values. And I was thinking, what side of the bus do they sit on? And I think, yeah, most of them come from love. So one is around connection, so that's love.
Yeah.
One around generosity, also love. Growth, I think probably somewhere in between the two points of the bus, because I suppose growth happens outside of our comfort zone, which sometimes can be scary or fearful.
So, Abby, it's really interesting that you talk about growth and how for us to grow, we need to move outside of our comfort zone. And you're absolutely right. But context is hugely important here. We can be outside of our comfort zone, pushed there by fear, or we can be outside of our comfort zone, pulled there by love. So let me give you an example. If we're pushed there by fear, it could be that we're pushed into our comfort outside of our comfort zone because we're fearful of being left behind or not keeping up with others or not achieving our targets and getting our bonus or whatever it happens to be, and we're fearful of that. But if we're there from the context of love, then all of a sudden it's about others. And that's the thing. Whatever's driving us from the fear side of the bus, it tends to be because we're focused on ourselves. Ego comes into it, and ego is Greek, I believe, for I or me, and it's ego driving us. Whereas when we're coming from the love side of the bus, then what's driving us is the love for others, something greater than ourselves, and being in service. And that's the way to be outside your comfort zone and to grow in a sustainable way where you feel fulfilled by it rather than feeling stressed by it.
It's interesting that you mentioned fulfillment, because I think for me, that's the number one benefit of knowing your values, your purpose, your goals, is, you know, you're always edging towards those things. You know, so you're living to your values, or you're clear on your purpose and you're doing that daily, or you're edging towards your goals. What would you say are the other benefits of kind of understanding your purpose?
Actually, we can have more than one purpose when you unpack this, because I'd like to make a distinction between purpose and commitment.
Okay.
Purpose is like potential. It's potential for something to happen. But commitment is when it gets kinetic, when we get into action. So, you know, we can talk about our purpose, and actually on this distinction, I think we can have many purposes in life. You know, some people, if they have a family, that's very much their purpose. If they have work they enjoy, then when they're at work, that's their purpose. There may well be hobbies that they're passionate about, and when they're engaged in those, they are totally focused on it, and that's their purpose in the moment. But commitments are very distinct from purposes. We'll probably have fewer commitments in life, but a commitment is where we get into action, where we declare what we stand for and where we're going and what we're going to do, what we're going to bring into existence. And further than that, we invite others to hold us to account. And a commitment does not stop, well, until it's complete. So we can have lifelong commitments. For any of us who have children or a family, you know, we have a commitment to our children, no matter how old they become. Yeah, that's a lifelong commitment. Or a commitment will come to an end when we've accomplished it, when we've achieved it. But commitment is about getting into action. It's about declaring what you stand for. It's about declaring what you're going to accomplish. And it's about inviting others to hold you to account. And that goes above and beyond just purpose, using my distinctions here.
I agree. For me, it feels similar to principles that I follow around goal setting. The difference between a dream and a goal is action. It's taking daily action towards that goal that gets fulfillment. So I can see about commitment, and sometimes I call it accountability. You know, almost like once you're clear on your goals and you've got that clarity, visual, you can feel it and you can see what it's going to feel and be like. It's taking daily action towards that goal and sharing that with others so that you have
absolutely
that accountability. You know, if you say, we were talking about having the home in Cornwall, that was a case of saying it out loud to make myself accountable for the goal that I have set myself, so that, you know, people around me act as constant reminders of the commitment that I said of what I was going to do to make sure I do it. So I can definitely see how that works.
Well, it's the same as if somebody chooses to, say, give up smoking or drinking. You know, they can stand in the corner somewhere and say quietly to themselves, you know what, I'm really going to kick the habit. I'm going to do it. But they don't really declare that to anybody else. Well, that's not a commitment. However, if they gather in their friends, their family, their work colleagues and say, look, I'm absolutely committed to, say, giving up smoking. And the reason that I'm committed to this is because I want to live a healthier life. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. I don't fully know how I'm going to get there. But you know what? Everything I say and everything that I do, I want it to be consistent with this commitment that I'm making here today. And any of you out there who are listening to this, who can hear me, you have my permission to hold me to account. And if any of my actions depart from this commitment that I'm making to you today, then you come and tell me. You have my permission to do that. Don't hold back. That is a commitment. A commitment is being clear on what you stand for, and making a declaration of that, as you've done with your Cornwall home. But this applies in all aspects of life, and indeed in business too.
Which links on to the next question, which is, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking, God, what a skill for marketeers to have to motivate their team on maybe a forward direction they're taking the brand or business, and almost giving their own personal commitment for them to come on that journey with. Is there any other benefits you can see, either personally or professionally, that marketeers could use providing that external commitment for?
One thing about commitments that go above and beyond purpose is once you've made them, you need to fulfill on them. Because if you don't, then you undermine any trust or loyalty that people feel towards you. One of the very simple, actually not so simple, but an example that many might relate to is a traditional marriage ceremony, you know, whatever faith, or even if you don't have a faith, if it's a civil wedding, civil partnership. What happens actually is two people stand up in front of a bunch of other people, a few words are said, and everybody walks out. That's actually what happens. But it has deep meaning, because what those two people are doing is making a commitment to one another in front of those that they care for, people who are important to them. And making that declaration is hugely powerful, because, again, it's inviting others to hold them to account. And you need to follow through on that, because otherwise it's not a commitment. And similarly in business, if we're leading an organization, first of all, we need to get clear on what's important to us. We need to get clear and notice whether that's being driven from the fear side of the bus or from the love side of the bus. And there's a clue in everything I've said that, you know, it's better if it's driven from the love side of the bus. To get clear on that, to notice when perhaps one of the drivers from the fear side of the bus is jumping into that driver's seat, and to make your commitment and have your colleagues hold you to account, and to stay true to that. Because once you undermine and go against the commitment you've made, you've lost all trust and loyalty. I'll give you an example. In 2003, I was a force commander for the Royal Air Force during the controversial Second Gulf War. And forget all the politics. I had 200 people out in the desert flying missions in undefended aircraft over Iraq and getting shot at. And it was very high-intensity work to be involved in. You know, we were there for 4 months, and people were putting their lives in danger. But one commitment that we have, amongst many others, when you're in the military, is that you care for your people. And on less than 3 occasions, I had individual people that were under my command, people I cared for. It turned out that their grandparents, one of their grandparents, was at the point of passing away. And without any hesitation, regardless of the impact on anything else, we got those people home as soon as was physically possible. That's a commitment to care for your people, regardless of what else is going on. If you've made that commitment, then you stand by it. And it was the easiest decision I ever made, because it was, well, yeah, why wouldn't we do that, you know? And heaven and earth was moved to get those people home, so as they could spend a few last moments with their dear grandparents. So, you know, this is where the Americans say the rubber hits the road here. It's easier to talk about purpose, commitment, and values, but it's only when we're squeezed, it's only when we're put under pressure that we realize what our true values are and what our true commitment is.
And the story that you were telling really resonates in the sense of, you know, we're in COVID at the moment, and I think it's forced people under pressure, and it's forced them to think about the people behind their brands or business.
Yeah.
Just in the way you did, you know, you did the human thing, which was to send them home so that, you know, they could spend those last moments with their grandparents. Why do you think it's taken for, you know, COVID, or in those, not necessarily for yourself, but in certain situations, for people to really appreciate the person behind the brand or business?
Well, I think that in life, there are, thankfully, not that many life or death situations that the majority of us come across. What I learned during my 25 years in the military is that, and as a pilot, you know, I had quite a few opportunities where the context was that your life was on the line or the people that you cared for were on the line. And so all of the BS falls away. You know, you get to ask the real nitty-gritty of what's really important. And it's the same as well at a very human level. You know, heaven forbid, if someone in our immediate family becomes ill, then we drop everything, work, whatever, just to care for them. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but the reality is that it's when we are squeezed in this way, when something that we truly care for, is threatened, whether that's an individual or something that we're committed to bring into existence in this world. You know, Elon Musk, he can be controversial, but as he once said, you know, if something is important enough, we will do it anyway, even if the odds are stacked against us. And it's when we face those situations, when we have those opportunities to face those situations, that we really get to understand who we are, what we believe in, and what's truly important to us. And I think this is very much linked to, we've mentioned values quite a bit on this call, Abby. And one thing about values, they're not as fixed as you might think they are, or as we're led to believe they are. Values are dependent on our situation in a day-to-day way. You know, I'm sure like me, you like to think that you're a law-abiding citizen. Yes? And I think majority of people would like to feel they are too. You know, we're part of society, and part of society is being a law-abiding citizen. And yet many of us have possibly broken a speed limit or maybe used the works photocopier or printer for their own personal use or whatever, because it doesn't really matter is what goes through our mind. But actually, it shows that what we may say is our value of being a law-abiding citizen is not. And so when we come down to values, it's only when we're really squeezed that we learn what's important to us. And another thing, I believe that we can't say what our values are. It's only others who observe us when we're in that tight, difficult situation, who can see what our values are. And if we're very, very lucky, we have friends and close ones who share with us what they see. And that's when we begin to learn what our values truly are. And it's generally when we're really squeezed. It's very easy to follow what we might call values when there's nothing on the line. It's often difficult when it's a tough decision we've got to make. The choice perhaps between profit or doing the right thing, or the choice between putting somebody else first, lifting somebody else up, or taking credit for the work ourselves. This is when we really learn who we are, and the best people to share with us who we are those who are close to us, who understand our character and see us when we're under pressure.
And there's many points in there that I think I agree and disagree with, so I don't know where to start.
Brilliant.
I think for me, I'm open to the fact that values may not be fixed, but I would like to think, or do think, you know, as a coach, that doing the work and that self-discovery and looking at those moments of significance in your life, you know, highs and lows, and not looking at what was happening, but why it was happening to define your values, for me has worked, and for many people that I coach. And I think then the second point you make about when you're under pressure, I think it's almost like you're carrying your values every day. And I'd like to think that people move from identifying them, defining them, to embodying them. And embodying them is almost kind of living them every day. And as you say, so much so that people can see that. They can see in the actions and what you do in the pastimes and how you play at work and in life that, you know, what your values are. I suppose I'm struggling with the fact that between us knowing them and somebody else, a little bit in my soul.
Okay. Well, fantastic points you bring up. And let me expand a little bit further. I'm not undermining the value of values here.
That'd be too brave.
What I'm pointing towards is that developing, nurturing our values, it's an ongoing thing, you know?
Yeah,
it is not. It's not like, yes, these are my values, and that's it, I'm done. No. Values come from your drivers, you know, the drivers that you nurture, that you want driving your bus. Those that you nurture, the people you're surrounded by, your family initially, and as you're growing up, will nurture some drivers over others. Hopefully, for the majority of us, those will be the love drivers that are nurtured. You know, I truly believe that as human beings, our default is the love side of the bus. Unfortunately, the world that we've created, quite often, the default is the fear side of the bus, you know, because we have a view of a world of scarcity and competition, and there's not enough for everybody, you know, every man for himself, as it were. And so we have a choice as to which drivers we nurture. And when we nurture those, yes, they can become values. But what I'm encouraged by is that when we recognise that, when I say that values aren't as fixed as we might think they are, what I mean by that is that we can give ourselves a break, you know?
Yeah.
We are all human at the end of the day, and no one is perfect. And the fact that we cherish certain drivers, for example, of putting others first or being in service of something other than just ourselves, sometimes we might not always get it right. And that's okay. It's the trend that's important, and the work that we're putting in to nurture those drivers, those values. That's what's important. And I find great hope in this view, because it gives us and everyone a bit of a break. The important thing is the trend and our intention.
I love that. It's, you know, give yourself a break. You don't have to be... I always say we're work in progress, aren't we? Every single day of our lives, we're work in progress.
Absolutely. And, you know, the big picture here, going back to the love and fear thing, is if quite often what defines fear is ego, what defines the love side of the bus is what I call humble confidence. It's about going forward in life, building your confidence, but having the humility to listen to others, to embrace the views of others, to lift each other up. That's humble confidence, and that's a great way of leading yourself and indeed leading others.
I love that. I think that's a great lesson for any leader, marketeer or not. Mm. Just thinking about our conversation so far, so we've spoken about kind of definition of purpose, and we've talked about the drivers, both the love and the fear. We've talked about values, you know, whether they're fixed or not, but also, you know, not giving yourself such a hard time around them. I'm kind of looking at those three pieces. How do they all link together?
Well, I think the big thing here, Abby, is first of all, recognising, acknowledging and seeing where we are naturally driven from. And so just having that simple model of the bus to be able to have the opportunity to reflect on, in any given moment, are we being driven by the love drivers or are we being driven by the fear drivers? And how does that fit in with the drivers that we want to nurture? How does that fit in with what we might call purpose? And from purpose, what are our true commitments that we are willing to declare and willing to have others hold us to account for? That's how all these things link together. And to recognise that when we let go of fear, huge opportunities open up in terms of what we can accomplish as individuals and what we can accomplish as leaders and as teams. Because often the biggest thing in our way is ourselves. And that comes from the fear side of the bus. What can get in the way of ourselves, of progress, of true growth? Things like ego, self-image, all these things can get in the way of our own personal growth and, at the same time, the growth of others. I truly believe that the more we learn to lead ourselves, the more we have as a capacity to lead others too. And by leading ourselves, I'm talking about really getting a clear understanding of what's truly important to us, what drives us, and nurturing a context of love over fear. That's about learning to lead ourselves.
I love that. There's a saying that I use that's not dissimilar, which is you can only help others into the extent in which you know yourself.
Absolutely.
And you've got to know yourself before you can lead, before you can motivate anyone in your team, both personally and professionally. You've got to know what your values are. You've got to know what your purpose is. You've got to know, you know, what your commitments are, what your drivers are, before you can help anyone else to find theirs or even attempt to kind of motivate them on that deeper rooted level, really.
Well, I'd agree with just one minor modification.
Mm.
And that is, I firmly believe that you don't need to sit in the room and figure all this out about yourself first. You know, like I mentioned before, this is an ongoing journey. And the willingness to embrace everything that we've talked about when we're reflecting on ourselves can be done at the same time as helping others too, whether by supporting them or by leading them. The point is that the more that we reflect on ourselves, the more we have the capacity to effectively lead others and to help them on their journey too. And it's a willingness to embrace both these paths which I think is really important, a willingness to acknowledge that it's not about one single data point, it's about the trend of how we grow and how we develop and how in that process we carry others forward too.
And the need to continue to grow and develop, otherwise you're going to remain static. So it's almost as they're totally growing, you've got to grow too.
Yeah.
So you talked about values not necessarily being fixed. Would you say a purpose is something that remains fixed or can also change?
Well, I would prefer to put it along the lines of you can have more than one purpose in life.
Okay.
I remember chatting to this lady in the margins of the conference, and we were talking about life and purpose, and she said, oh, well, it's clear my purpose in life is my kids. You know, she was a dedicated mother. She also had a full-time job as well, but she was clear that her purpose was to take care of her kids. And that's great. That's fantastic. And whilst the percentage of her time looking after her children will probably decrease as they grow up and move out, et cetera, and build their own lives, she will have other purposes that she'll focus on. And that may be through work, it may be through charity work, hobbies, or whatever. So I believe you can have a number of different purposes. Remember, I've talked about purpose is about potential. Commitment is when it gets kinetic, when you put it into action. And so while she referred at the time to her family, her children being her purpose, actually that was a commitment. So I think we can have more than one purpose in life. We'll probably have fewer commitments in life because we just don't have time, but we can have more than one.
That's great. It's actually made me think, do I need to relook at mine and see if I have more than one? Because I think as I think about it, even though I've got this overarching why or theme, perhaps that needs to almost be broken down into multiple purposes for now, as you say, because we are work in progresses.
Or broken down into multiple commitments.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like
let's not have words for the sake of them, in the sense that if you understand what drives you,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully it comes from that love side of the bus, and since you're a coach and you're doing things like this podcast, it strongly indicates that you're driven from the love side of the bus. Great. Let's nurture those drivers. And if you want, turn those into purposes in life. But actually, better, go straight for the commitments. You know, given what drives you, what's your commitments in life? You can have several commitments. But what are you prepared to stand up and declare that this is what you're going to follow through for the rest of your life or until you've accomplished it? It's those things which give us direction. And it's those things, too, which have the potential to be very inspiring for others. Because, well, frankly, there's nothing more inspiring than seeing a human being who's totally committed to something. And you just get this sense that they're going to see it through no matter what. And that's what a commitment is.
I absolutely love that. I think it's almost going to be the first thing I do, Peter, after this, is think about my commitments and email them to you. There you
well,
go.
I'd my love first... to see them.
Okay, I'll do that. That's my action.
Okay.
Talking about actions, as we wrap up today, what would be your one piece of advice that you'd give to marketeers of today?
Well, given everything that we've been talking about, Abby, and bearing in mind I'm not a marketeer, but I'm a human being like the rest of us. And I think one of the most valuable things that we can do is practice being consistently authentic. So what do I mean by that? It translates actually into some of the language we've been using on this call. Figure out what's important to us. If we can, make commitments from that and be consistent in pursuing those things and acknowledging that sometimes we might not get it right. And when we don't get it right, then turn around and acknowledge that to the people that we work with, that are close to us, those people to whom we've made that commitment, and say, look, I've screwed up, but you know what? With your help, I'm going to double down on the commitments that I've made, and together we're going to become more and more consistent in delivering on those commitments. And to have that willingness to let others in, to be vulnerable, to acknowledge when we've messed up, that is the most powerful thing to reinforce trust and build relationship with those we cared for. As a very quick example, the aircraft I used to fly in the military, it wasn't anything flash or dramatic. It was a big aircraft, the size of a 767, really. It carried passengers, or most of my time we carried fuel to give away to fighter jets. We're a tanker aircraft. But when you're flying an aeroplane that has got several crew on it, there is no hiding when you mess up. You know, if you're in an aircraft by yourself and you mess something up and get away with it, then you can hide away from it, you know, and make lots of excuses to yourself. But when you're flying an aeroplane where there's others on board, then they can see everything you're doing and who you're being, and there's no hiding away from it. I remember once, well, there's been one or two occasions where, you know, perhaps trying to fly an aircraft, getting into an airfield where the weather was very, very bad and foggy, and we didn't have an auto land system like many aircraft have these days. And there was one particular occasion flying into an airport in Iceland, and the weather was very, very bad. And I managed to land this aircraft, just about got away with it, only just. And perhaps I should have what we call go around, where you put your power on and just divert somewhere else. But it was really high pressure that we needed to get into that airfield. And I probably pushed further than I should have done. I was the captain. And we landed the aircraft. We arrived, as we say. It was not very pretty because I slammed it into the tarmac, into the runway. But we got away with it. We taxied in and I shut down the aircraft, shut down the engines. I closed the flight deck door and turned to my crew and said, I screwed up. I apologize. We should have not continued with that approach. We should have diverted. And I want to acknowledge the mistake I've made, and it won't happen again. And that was probably the single most valuable thing I could have done at that time. How often in business, when we make a mess of the landing, do we turn around and apologize to our people? I'd admit that we've made a mistake. And if we do see that as an opportunity rather than something to be avoided, then chances are we're going to bind our teams together much more closely, and we're going to accomplish way more than we thought possible as we move forward together.
That's a lovely story. Yeah, in the power of learning from your mistakes and kind of the resilience with it. Just fantastic. Thank you so much, Peter, and thank you for your time on the Whole Marketeer podcast today.
You're most welcome, Abby. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Whole Marketeer podcast. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please do click follow below for more weekly podcasts. Thank you.